Good morning, good morning. Before I start, I want to welcome everybody, but I want to particularly welcome one person in our congregation who has been in lockdown on steroids. I suspect this is one of the first outings that Robin Wootton has had. So welcome, Robin. Robin was hospitalised on the 17th of February. And it's been very hard for people to see her, and she hasn't been anywhere much. So we're glad that you're here. Jess, where are you? There you are. I love what you did as worship leader this morning. Very spirit-directed, because what I want to talk about is what it means to be God's children. One of the things that has really surprised me since we've come back is how much some of the kids have grown and changed. And that shouldn't really surprise me, because that's what kids do. But Jackson came in the door the first week, and his eyes were about here compared to mine. And I thought, oh dear, he's really been growing. I saw Jack in a video that was online and thought, oh, he's changed so much. And Zoe had changed so much. And then I looked at Jake and went, oh, what happened? There's just been so much growth and change, and it surprises us, but it shouldn't, because actually a kid's job description is to grow up. That is their job. That's what they do all the time. All parents want their kids to grow up and to mature and to learn how to do all kinds of things. What sort of things, if you are a kid, do your parents want you to do? And if you're a parent, what kind of things do you want your kids to learn to do? I'm listening.
Love Jesus.
Love Jesus, yes. All parents want that one who are Christians, don't they?
Be kind.
Be kind. Absolutely.
Behave.
And then we define behaving too, don't we? What else do you want your kids to learn to do? Sorry?
Eat your food.
Eat your food, yes, please. And please say thank you when I've cooked it and I'm tired too. We want our kids to learn how to speak. We want them to be able to swim. Howard's father couldn't swim, so it was really important to him that all of his kids learnt to swim. I was a literacy specialist, so I really wanted my kids to learn to read well. What else do we want our kids to learn?
To like themselves.
To like themselves, yeah. Because if they don't like themselves, they won't like or love anybody else. Yeah. Sorry? To be themselves. We want them to learn who they are and to be that person. Sorry? And the dishes. You're listening, Rosie? Where's Angus? Excellent, yes. Both socks in the wash. At the same time. That's very helpful, yes. Yeah. For those who can't hear, to develop a passion for things, the things that will light them up. We want our kids to find that because it will infuse all of their lives. Sorry? To be resilient, to learn how to bounce back, to learn how to fail and realise that's not the end of life as we know it. We want them to learn how to fix things. Most parents, when their kids have got a bike, at some stage say, let me teach you how to fix a puncture. Let me teach you how to oil the chain. And depending on where we grow up, our kids have different jobs. I'm thinking the Vince kids are learning all about chook farming at the moment with the family chook business. I'm sure everybody knows exactly how to wash eggs and stamp them and stack them. And no, Max doesn't. Okay, that's interesting. We want our kids to grow up. Eventually, we want them to go to work, to be able to drive a car, preferably safely, and to make good life choices. And the ability to do all of those things is built over many, many years of learning to make smaller choices. Growing up is also the job description for every follower of Jesus. To grow up, to become mature, to become more like Jesus is our job description. Sometimes people feel that they can excuse themselves from growing up because they've got a struggle going on. But always the invitation from Jesus is, you've got this, you've got me. I want you to grow up into the fullness of the body of Christ. I don't want you to stay a baby Christian all of your life. I don't want you to excuse yourself from the things you find hard. There are things that all of us find difficult, but the invitation from God is to grow up, which can sound harsh if we don't have the tools to grow up. We all start off as babies, baby human beings. We don't say to a three-month-old baby, it's time you packed up your room, or it's time you slept through the night. We wish they would. But we accept that a baby needs time and help to grow up. Likewise, we all start out as baby believers in Jesus at some point in our lives. Some people start when they're very young. Some become adults before they learn to follow Jesus. And sometimes adults can be baby followers of Jesus. But we can all grow up. God wants his kids to grow up, and not just any old way, any way that we think is good, but he wants us to grow up into the unity of the body of Christ. We're going to look at a passage this morning, and it uses the word one constantly. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. This is how God wants his children to grow up to be one in Jesus Christ. And in order for us to have what we need to grow up, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit. Let's hear how Paul says it to the Ephesians. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every way, every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul urges the Ephesians to live a life worthy of the calling that they've received, to grow up and become mature in Christ, not to remain babies, but to reach maturity. And that may well be a lifetime's work. But we are invited in all that we do to grow up. Just as human children grow to maturity in the setting of a family, so Jesus' followers grow up to maturity in the family of the body of Christ, where everyone uses their spiritual gift so that everyone else is built up, so that we're unified in faith and in knowing Jesus, and grow up to the fullness of Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as a thriving Lone Ranger Christian. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts and to receive the exercise of other people's in order for us to grow up into Christ. Maturity comes when everyone uses the spiritual gift that they have, and everybody who is a follower of Jesus has at least one spiritual gift, where everyone is built up by using their gift and by receiving the gifts of other people. A mature church is not one where a few extraordinarily gifted people do everything and everybody else is just the audience. That's not how maturity comes about. A mature church is one where everyone is built up both by giving and receiving the exercise of spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are given for the blessing of the whole body of Christ. They're not so that the person who has the gift thinks, well, I'm pretty special, I've got this gift. They're given so that the body of Christ is built up into the fullness of Jesus. And every single part of the body is needed for everyone to be built up. There is no such thing as a spiritual gift that doesn't matter. If God has given a gift, it matters. And it's needed by the whole body. The passage that we've just read lists only five spiritual gifts: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And we often see those as being roles. But there are far more spiritual gifts than these five. And they all matter. Paul mentions in a number of other lists other spiritual gifts. I want us to think briefly about what some of those gifts are. And I encourage you as you sit there to think about who you know that has this gift. Because one of the things I want us to be doing over the next couple of weeks is identifying the spiritual gifts of other people. If we have a spiritual gift, it's easy for us to underestimate how important it is or how special and unique it is because it just flows out of us. But it doesn't flow out of everybody else. This thing that comes naturally to us might not come naturally to very many other people in the church at all. If God has given you a gift, it matters. It matters to Him and it matters to this community. It also matters to the people outside this community who you are interacting with. Sometimes we think of our spiritual gifts only in relation to using them within the church, but they are for using outside the church. I have the gift of mercy. Compassion is another way of describing that. And it's easy to see how that can be used in a church. But you know, most of my conversations with people outside the church come out of having a mercy gift. I have this label on my head that people can read that says, "Tell me, I'm interested." And they do. And it's easy for me to think that happens to everybody. It doesn't. That's just the spiritual gift that I've got. I think about Sam Page. And he's like this one man. encouragement unit who just blitzes this church with encouragement. And he's not saying things that just sound good. He's really thought about it and he's right. When he notices something and affirms that, he's spot on. Think about this church. As I describe some of these gifts, think about this church and think about, and for you guys at Teen Challenge, think about one another at Teen Challenge. Think about who you see that has these gifts. Maybe your gift is faith or encouragement. These are quieter gifts. And it's easy to think that they're not important, but they are critically important. I can think of moments in churches where the church has been trying to make a decision and it required taking a risk. And somebody in that church with the gift of faith said, "I believe God is leading us to this. I think this is an invitation from God. I think we should do it." And everybody else kind of goes, okay, we trust this person. We trust that they have the gift of faith. We're up for it. I can think of children when I was really sick with cancer. Howard was teaching in a Christian school where they prayed together a couple of times a week. And all the kids knew that Mrs. Davies was very, very sick. That was as much as kids in grade four need to know. But there were times Howard would come home and say, "This morning so-and-so prayed this prayer." These kids had faith enough to pray these incredibly bold prayers. And you know what? God answered them. These spiritual gifts aren't just for adults. If children have received Jesus, they have a spiritual gift, and we need to be looking for the gifts that these kids have and to encourage them to use that gift. Those kids with the gift of faith blessed me big time, and God heard their prayers. Maybe your gift is administration. People with this gift don't get many pats on the head for it, but if you've ever been in a badly administered church, you know how much you need people with the gift of administration who make sure, as Barry does, that our money is managed in a transparent and accurate fashion. We need people like that. I am very grateful that Kathy has the gift of administration and I can outsource the things I know need doing to somebody who gets satisfaction from doing them. Thank goodness someone does. Maybe your gift is craftsmanship. If you go back to Exodus 31, I think it is, there is a guy called Bellala who is given the gift of the Holy Spirit to make a lot of the materials that go into the tabernacle. And today we have people like Jess and like Alex and like Rosie and some others I haven't mentioned, and Colleen too, who have artistic gifts, who help us to understand the things of God through using their gifts of craftsmanship. It just helps us to understand God so differently. And they create things of beauty that take us into a place of awe, which opens us up to the Spirit of God. Maybe your gift is intercession. Every church needs people who are passionate and who are formed and shaped by God to be the prayers of the church. Everybody is called to pray, but some people have a special anointing, a special gift for prayer. And no church ever thrives without those people exercising their gift. You know how we have people that we contact because something's gone pear-shaped and we really need to know that this will be taken to heaven's door? Those are our intercessors. We need to bless those people because their ministry is very quiet and often very costly. Perhaps your gift is giving. There are people who, in the quiet of their own heart before Jesus, look at their resources, look at the needs, and have a special grace of being generous and a ministry of blessing other people through the use of their finances. I can think of missionaries who are incredibly blessed because those who have resources, and it doesn't mean they're rich, it just means that they see their resources as belonging to God, not to themselves, and they are wise about where that money goes. They use it strategically, and it blesses the cotton socks of all sorts of people. I guess I've just lived in Mission Central, and I've seen how often missionaries are praying for something, and this gift comes seemingly from left field that enables them to do what they need to do and to remain on the field. I think particularly of Bible translators, it's this really, really, really slow process, and they need people who will commit with them for the long haul. But sometimes there are special needs that come up. Perhaps your gift is healing, or maybe it's hospitality. Most people who come to faith through friendship with someone else, through sharing the table, sharing a meal, sharing a coffee. That's the entry point for a lot of people to coming into the family of God. Some people have the gift of mercy. Others have the gift of tongues. And in that gift, they are able to pray the prayers of the Holy Spirit for situations that are confusing everybody else. They know the mind of God. They might not know what they're praying, but in praying in tongues, the Spirit is praying what needs to be prayed. Some people have the gift of wisdom. Others receive special words of knowledge. A one-off word that speaks to a particular situation. They don't necessarily know all of what that means, but when they speak that word, it brings freedom. Some people have the gift of leadership, and we need them. Some people have the gift of helps. They are incredibly practical. They can see what needs doing, and they do it. I think of Hayley Vince as a prime example of it. Okay, there is a need. Let's do this. Let's sort it. Let's make this work. It is a very practical gift that helps people in tough, tough times. And some people have the gift of discernment. Every single spiritual gift is needed in the body of Christ. In order for us to come to maturity, we need every single person to exercise their spiritual gift. If you want to grow to maturity, you will use your spiritual gift, because in that activity, God is going to grow you up. You're going to learn a lot more about Jesus and about the life of faith by using your gift. And you'll learn a lot about yourself as well. If you want others to grow to maturity, you will use your spiritual gift. Other people's spiritual growth depends on you exercising your spiritual gift. And if you hope to grow to maturity, you need everyone else to use their spiritual gifts. You need the people who will pray for you, who will come quietly alongside you and say, "Kerry, you're wrong. You need to rethink this." You need the people who will encourage you. For us to grow to the fullness of Christ, we need one another. And we need to, for us to have the freedom to really do that well, we need to know what our spiritual gift is. So this is something I need everyone's help for. I need you to think and to pray about the people in this community, either in Teen Challenge or at Norton Summit, and to ask God to show you what their spiritual gift is. There will be a chance to speak some of this when we gather together, but there's nothing to stop you sending a text message, an email, ringing somebody, there's a novel thought, ringing somebody up and saying to them, "I see this gift in you and I want to bless you in it." Growing to the fullness of Christ is not a do-it-yourself project. Spiritual maturity comes about by us participating in the body of Christ, where we experience both the giving and the receiving of the exercise of spiritual gifts. the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this glorious grace from Jesus that is given for the building up of his body on earth. I would like to pray for us now, and I would like to pray Paul's prayer from the start of Ephesians, just one verse of it. Let me pray. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Amen. God bless you.